problems. Oh my goodness. You've got an insert inside of your program. Pull it out. You can fill in the blanks as you follow along with me. You know, when you write a letter, think about this. Normally, somebody that writes a letter, don't they just warm up a little bit? They give you a few preliminary remarks. They kind of ease into their message. Hi, how you doing? I hope things are going for well for you and that kind of stuff. But in James chapter 1, when James starts writing this, he just takes about one verse of saying, hi, this is James, and then boom, he just drops a bomb. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you encounter trials of many kinds. How would you like to get a letter like that? You know, this is a letter from Harlan. You got problems? Be happy. Well, hey, there's no way I can be happy. You don't even know my situation. Who are you to write me a letter and tell me that right off the bat? You know why he can say that? Because there's a key phrase right in there. And the key phrase is, because you know. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And this is so important. It is your attitude. It's because you know. Your attitude is determined by your understanding. Your attitude is determined by what you know. Your ability to see things in life that's happening is determined by what you know. Because you know. I'm not talking about positive thinking. Hello, everybody. That is not what I'm done. This is not a gab it and grab it kind of a message. Not at all. But James does, right in this passage, as soon as he starts off, he gives you four facts of life. Just lays them right out here. This helps you through all your problems in life that you're going to be going through. Many of you are going through some real problems in your life right now. Anybody facing some challenges in their life? Yeah, look at that. Yeah, absolutely. And I got great news for the rest of you that didn't raise your hand. You will be. Oh, yeah. Do you know why you will be? Because, number one, of the four facts of life, problems are inevitable. Absolutely, completely. Scripture doesn't say, if you encounter problems, consider it joy. What does it say? When. You can count on it. This is not an if kind of a situation. It's going to happen. You are going to have problems. I would say this. If you don't have problems, just quick right now, check your pulse. Because you got a bigger problem than problems if you don't have any problems. Fact in life is this, is that James says you're going to have problems. Jesus says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Peter says, don't be surprised when you have problems. I mean, who are you going to tell from Jesus, James, Peter? Count on it. You're going to have problems. That brings me to the second fact of life that I see here. This is not an elective. You know, in college, you can take elective classes. This is an elective class. This is a core class. This is a required class. You're going to have problems. You don't get out of having problems by saying you don't have any problems. I got news for you. There's not a person on the face of this earth that is immune from having problems. There's times that life is just flat out, it's tough. Because we live in a fallen world and we're fallen people, you are going to have some problems in your life. Whenever, look at what he says there. Whenever you face problems. You know what the word face right there, the word face. Whenever you face problems, that word literally means to fall into unexpectedly. That same word face is used in the parable of the Good Samaritan when the man fell among thieves. Completely unexpected. He was just going down the road minding his own business and he just fell among thieves. You know what I'm talking about. Your day just starts off, the birds are singing, the sun is shining, everything's going fine, and then boom, you fall into some circumstances, some situation. Trials are not planned. Not by you, anyhow. And I think that's really good because you know what happened? I am of the thorough persuasion that if trials were planned and you knew about it, you would run the opposite direction. And if you ran the opposite direction because you knew there was a trial ahead of your day, then you would miss out from the benefit of that trial. So there is no advertisement that says, whoops, you're going to have a flat tire today. You're going to get an accident today. You're going to have a crisis today. These are unplanned and completely unpredictable. They happen when you least expect them. They happen when your schedule is jam-packed full of things. Sometimes there's a problem on top of a problem. It always seems to be inconvenient. Does anybody notice that? Oh, very inconvenient. And all of a sudden, you're just going along life, minding your own business, and you fall into a problem. It's like the guy that was riding the New York subway for the very first time. Anybody here ridden the New York subway? I've ridden it several times. It's jerky. It's jerky and it's always packed. So he was the last one in, the doors closed, and it takes off and he's immediately going like this and he's hitting the people around him because he's not used to this thing. He gets motion sickness as it's starting and stopping and starting and stopping and starting and stopping. He's thinking, this is horrible. The next time as he's standing there turning green, the door opens up. Bleh! And the poor guy that was standing there waiting to come in problems are not an elective. I mean, what was that poor guy doing? He was just standing there getting ready to go to work. And all of a sudden, bleh, why me? What did I do? You ever ask yourself that question? Sure. Problems. They just fall on you. Number three, there's so many different kinds of problems. So many different kinds of problems. You know, the shapes and sizes. I started thinking about the different kinds of problems that I've experienced. And I decided, you know, one thing about problems that's for sure is you never get bored by your problems. There are so many different kinds of problems. That's why in the Greek word right there, the Greek literally means many kinds. And when it says many kinds, it literally means multicolors. It's many shades. I love that. You ever try to match shades? You know, this shade and that shade? So many different varieties of problems. There's a variety of intensities. There's a variety of duration. There's just minor inconveniences, and then there's major crises that hit us. There's everything. There's more than 31 flavors of crises and problems, isn't there? I mean, it's just everything you can imagine. I saw a sign that I absolutely loved. Into every life, some rain must fall. But this is ridiculous. I felt like that this year. You know, third highest amount of rain that we've ever experienced in the history. It's like, can we get a break? Give me some sunshine. But no, we've got another day of rain. Yeah. There's so many different kinds of problems, crises, challenges that we face. And the fourth fact of life that I see in this passage right here is that they all have a purpose. Isn't that amazing? They all have a purpose. Did you hear what I just said? They just fell on you. You were just standing there minding your own business. But they've all got a purpose. The pain, the pressure, the suffering. They have a value in our lives. You know, it's another just interesting situation. I'll just give you three values that come out of that. Three values that you get out of the problems in your life. Number one is it purifies your faith. Oh, you bet it does. When he says testing right there in that passage, you look up the word testing and it's a picture of when they test gold and silver. And you know how they test gold and silver? They heat it up. They heat it until it gets so hot it liquefies. And when it liquefies, the impurities come up to the top. The dross rises up so it can be swept off. And Job says these words. We always talk about the testing of Job. You know, we talk more about the testing of Job than we ever talk about the luxuries of Solomon. You know why we talk so much about the testing of Job? Because problems are so much a part of our life. Because that's actually what refines us and purifies our Christian life. And Job said these words. Job says, and I quote, "He has tested me through the refining fire, and I have come out as pure gold." First thing that problems do is they test our faith. They purify us. How many times have you heard me say, Christians are just like tea bags? You don't know what's in them until they get dropped into hot water. Many times, because these problems come to us unexpectedly, the door just opens up and comes a problem. And then all of a sudden the hot water hits you, and what comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your faith? That's how you know what your faith is really like, or lack of faith. Because you just completely flesh out in the pressure of the moment, and you justify what that person did to you as a reason why it's okay for you to just flesh out. When things don't go as planned, all of a sudden it reveals what's really inside of your life. When you get squeezed, we're like sponges. What have you been soaking up? I don't know. Get squeezed and we'll find out. You don't feel like, that's just not right. Oh, problems. Boy, they're very revealing, aren't they? But you know what else they do? They purify your faith. And I got news for you, everybody. God's more interested in what we're doing around this church, building disciples, than he is about building buildings. You know, we call this the sheep shed because we're just not nearly into buildings. I mean, we'll take care of this building. We're going to love on this building, but we're into building you. I don't know many churches that now have a 7-year discipleship program that's just totally focused on building you. T for T is one of those things. OSO is another one of those things. And it goes on and on and on. It's all about building you up, strengthening you. So number one, problems purify my faith. That's one reason why we count it all joy. Another reason is problems fortify your patience. Fortify. You know what it is to fortify something, right? Oh, yeah. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. And when he talks about perseverance, really what that means is a staying power. What that means is being able to endure. That means the ability to keep on keeping on. The Christian walk is not a sprint. It's for eternity. The ability to just hang in there. The Greek in that word literally means the ability to stay in the midst of pressure. That's what it means. We don't like pressure. You know when the pressure's on. We do everything we can to avoid pressure. I watch when people get under pressure. That's when their escape mechanism kicks in. That's when they want to run away. Or else they run to drugs. Or they want to dip into the alcohol. Or let's go to Disneyland. Let's do something to get out of this situation that we find ourselves in right here. Whatever it takes. But God uses these problems in our lives to teach us how to handle pressure and never, 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 never give up. Right. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, but you don't know who you are in Christ until you stick with it, until you stay by the stuff, until you're more than an overcomer. Okay. Now, that sounds good, but how does God teach his patience? Well, by making everything go my way. Hallelujah. No way. Sorry. Yeah, that's right. God teaches you patience. Are you ready for this? Can you say traffic jams? Standing in line at grocery stores? Waiting for, yeah, we can all just start kicking in on stuff, can't we? Yeah, oh yeah, we've all got those things that just drive us crazy. These waiting times of our life, and we don't want to wait. You know why we don't want to wait? Because we live in this comfort and convenience society, and we just love it. And everybody wants it, and everybody wants it now, absolutely. What do you mean I can't have it? Well, then just forget it. I'll go somewhere where I can get it. And so today, endurance. Everybody say the word, endurance. It's a very rare quality. Matter of fact, I want to just do something right there. For those of you that have been a part of this church for more than 25 years, we've been here for 34 years. If you've been here for more than 25 years, I just want you to stand up. Stand up. I don't want you to raise your hands. I want you to stand up. Look around you. They're all the way from the back to all the way to the front. Look at that. More than 25 years. That's exactly right. Just give them a hand. Now, if you ever need to talk to somebody about endurance, those are the people you want to go talk to right there, because they have been through thick and through thin. They've been through marriage problems. They've been through financial problems. They've been through challenges with their kids, with their marriage, with their work. They've been through everything, and they felt like leaving the church many, many times. Was I standing up? Yeah, I was. All kinds of problems. We've decided that we're going to live in a fishbowl. We're going to live with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to go through this stuff together because there is such a great value to endurance. Yes. Count it joy when you have problems. That's how you get perseverance. That's how you get endurance. Another real benefit from these problems is that it sanctifies my character. Sanctifies my character. In other words, what I'm saying is it makes me like Jesus. You know what problems do? Problems help you to mature. Problems actually help you to grow. Now you start to understand why he's saying count it all joy right here. The testing of your faith produces perseverance so that you may be mature and complete. Say it with me. Not lacking anything. That is God's long-range goal for your life. You know, the ultimate purpose for God in your life is you growing up. For every single person in this room, his goal for your life is that you would mature. He wants you to develop a character that looks like Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. So many Christians I talk to have got absolutely no idea why they're on this earth. They've got no idea what God's plan for their life is. Well, I want to break it down to you. Ready? He wants you to grow up. If you don't know that, if you don't understand that the ultimate plan of God for your life is that you would grow up, then you're going to be overwhelmed by every problem that comes your direction. And we've already established there's lots of problems that come our direction, right? So God's number one purpose for every person's life that's in this room right now is that he wants to make you like Jesus. God is so much more interested in building your character than he is just making you comfortable. We worship comfort, and he says, I don't. I'm trying to make you like my son, Jesus Christ, a Christ one, because you look so much like him. Now, if God's going to make you like Jesus Christ, then do you think that you might have to go through some of the things that Jesus went through? Was Jesus lonely? Yeah. Fatigued? Sure. Tempted? Yeah. Depressed? Absolutely. Discouraged? Of course. Well, hello. There's two ways that God says, I'm going to make you like Jesus. Number one is the Word of God. The Word of God, John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Get in the Word of God. The Bible says that when you get in the Word of God, it's a plumb line for you. It's a mirror for you. It helps you live in this crazy world that we're in. It builds your character. It matures you. The only challenge that I have with reading the Bible is if you read the Bible, I don't know, 2 hours a day, how many hours of your life are you spending not reading the Bible? Well, a lot, right? That's why reading the Bible isn't enough. I'm not minimizing the importance of reading the Bible, because that's where we find truth. That's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. But there's a second one that's equally important, and that's a thing called circumstances. Yeah. Circumstances in life. Problems are meant to make you look more like Jesus. And James just hits it right on the head. Some Christians, have you ever met these Christians? Or maybe you are one of them. Everything was just going great for me when I was a new believer. Then all these problems just came on me. I don't know, maybe God doesn't love me anymore. I don't know, maybe I'm not even saved anymore. I'm probably not even a Christian. Maybe I just missed the boat and didn't know it. No. You are exactly where God wants you. You are on a character correction course. It's called life. and you're going to have problems because that's how he's correcting your character. That's how he's adjusting you. Not through the wonderful hallelujah times. It's when the pressure comes on and all the flesh rises up through the heat of the problem. And you go, ooh, I didn't like what I saw there. And God says, yeah, perfect. That's how it's supposed to be. What's God's number one purpose for every one of our lives? To make us like Jesus. That's where Romans 8, 28, we all know Romans 8, 28. You know, we know that all things work together for good. First of all, what does that not say? It does not say that all things are good. They can work for good if we love God. Big if. And are called. So there's two things there, right? All things work together for good if we love God and if we're called according to his purpose. What's his purpose? Become more like Jesus. You can't read Romans 8:28 without reading the following verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to become, listen, conformed to the image of the Son of God. Conformed to the image of the Son of God. What's God's number one purpose in your life? To make you like Jesus. To become conformed to the image of the Son of God. All things work together for good if we love God and are called according to his purpose, which is to conform us, to make us more like. You know, one of the things that bugs me as a pastor is we got so many Christians that have been a Christian for 25 years and they're still a half inch deep in their spiritual maturity. They've come to church. They're professional critics. Well, you know, I wouldn't have selected that worship song. Oh, I don't particularly like this. It's too loud for me. Oh, pastor, I've heard that sermon before. Or whatever, whatever, ever. They've just become professional critics rather than saying, Jesus, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, have your way in me. You ever wonder how God brings up the fruit of the Spirit in your life? I've told you this before. The way God brings up the fruit of the Spirit in your life, how you begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life, is he puts you in exact opposite situations. So he doesn't announce it. He just says, you know what? Looks like Harlan needs to be more loving. So he puts me around a bunch of unloving people. Now you know why you're working where you're working. Now you know why what's going on when you're in the neighborhood that you're in the neighborhood of. You know when he wants to teach you joy? He doesn't put you in a bunch of joyful situations. He puts you in places where you're really, really sad, and you've got to learn to respond to the sadness with joy. What about peace? God says, I want to give you the fruit of the Spirit of peace. When God wants to give you peace, he puts you right in the middle of a bunch of chaos. The dinner's burning, the telephone's ringing, the cat has grabbed the dog's tail, the kid is crying, the baby's diaper is completely full. And God says, I want you to learn peace right here in the midst of the storm. Oh, anybody can be peaceful lying on the beach in Hawaii. Come on. Because we want to run from the very thing that God is using to pressure us to conform us into the image of his dear son. Woo! You know, the Bible says in Ephesians that we are God's workmanship. Another translation for that workmanship is masterpiece. God wants to make a masterpiece out of you. That doesn't mean that you're going to be absolutely, completely finished. That means anything the master touches, any canvas, the life, anything that he touches becomes a masterpiece because the master touched it. He's touching you right now. He's making a masterpiece out of you. He wants you to be, what does the verse say? Mature, complete, lacking in nothing. Guess who that's a picture of? Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. Because he wants you to be like him, a Christ one. The people look at you and they go, that's a Christ one right there. That's why we're called Christians. So then that brings up a real question for me. I'm sitting here working on this saying, you know what? And I'm working on this. I believe it's fresh bread that just comes from the throne of God because I know so many of you are going through so many problems and I don't think we have a real clear understanding of how we're supposed to respond under pressure when things are not going our direction like we want. We get in this flight mode. So we need to get out from under. We don't know how to embrace it in Christ. So how do we handle the problems when we're just under it? The first thing that you do, according to this passage, I'm just dealing with these first few verses in James chapter 1. First thing you do is you rejoice, right? Is that what we just read? Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. Now, just to clarify this thing, I don't want to be misquoted on this. He is not saying, fake it. He's not saying, put on a plastic smile. He's not saying, just pretend. Because you don't rejoice for your problems. You rejoice in your problems because of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, in spite of what it is you're going through. I'm not going to be thanking God for evil, right? But I think I can thank God in the midst of the situations that I'm going through because He's still God and He still loves me. And that doesn't change. Amen. One of the most misunderstood verses in the entire Bible is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you want to know God's will, it's really very, very simple. I'm trying to take this message and just put it right on the bottom shelf for us. In everything, give thanks. It does not say for everything, give thanks. Don't you dare thank God for leukemia. Don't you dare thank God for a nation that has to go to war. Don't you dare thank God for the accident that you were in. Don't you dare thank God for taking the life of your mother or father or loved one or whatever. What kind of God do you think He is anyhow? But in the midst of all that, He says, in everything, give thanks because God is over the top. He's more than, in spite of whatever you're going through, you've got a God that still loves you and is crazy about you. You can thank God because even when the bad things are happening in your life, God can turn it around. He can bring it around. So I'm not thanking God for it, but I'm thanking God in it because He can turn it and make all things new. He can completely change it around if I respond right. Yes. I don't care where your problems are coming from. I mean, you are the result of, you're the reason for a lot of your problems. Let me just say it again because you all missed a great place to say amen. You are the reason for a lot of your problems. Oh, I know the devil causes your problems too. Our society brings a lot of problems on us. But what I'm telling you is that the source of your problems don't matter nearly as much as the fact that God wants to use those problems to grow you up and to bring glory to Him in the midst of it all. You know what the difference maker is in the midst of all this? This is so important. Write it in your notes somewhere. The difference maker in all of this, your attitude. Your choice to rejoice in the midst of the pressure cooker situation you're in. These are not my words. This is the word of God. Consider it all joy. The word consider, you know what the word consider? You look it up in the Greek. It literally means to deliberately look at. To deliberately, it means to evaluate. It means just to make up your mind once and for all. I know I can't control the circumstances. I know these problems, the door just opens up, bleh, happens to me. But I can absolutely control my response to them. I can't think of a more powerful story than Viktor Frankl, who was a Jewish psychologist, who was thrown in a Nazi concentration camp, who miraculously survived, and he wrote these words about his time in that concentration camp. He said, "They stripped me naked. They took everything, my wedding ring, my watch. I stood there naked, and all of a sudden, I realized at that very moment that although they could take everything away from me, they did. They took my wife, my family, my possessions, but they could not take away my freedom to choose how I was going to respond. They could not take away my freedom to choose how I was going to respond." You choose how you're going to respond. In every circumstance, in every situation, in every problem, in every crisis of life that comes your direction, you have a choice how you are going to respond in that situation. And I want to quote for you Psalms chapter 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Does that mean even when I don't feel like it? Does that mean even when things are not going to go, are not going right for me? Let me be, I just want to be very, very clear about this. Your problems are not going to automatically produce blessings for you. No. Just because you're experiencing problems does not mean that you're automatically blessed. There are way too many people that have got horrific problems and it's destroyed their life. I'm a pastor. I have people tell me the pain and the hurt, the trials that they're going through. And I watch it absolutely destroy their lives. What's the difference between these two words? Bitter, better. The letter I. I make a difference. Oh, you bet. My attitude, I will bless the Lord at all times. There's lots of people, the problems have absolutely broken them. And I'm not trying to be insensitive, but it's because they chose to respond that way. You choose how you're going to respond. Time to put your big boy pants on. It absolutely is. You choose how to respond. It's your choice to rejoice in the midst of the circumstances that we're going through, that you're facing right now. Just say something like, I love you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you so much. Number two, request. Request. You just write beside request, just write the word pray. That's all I'm talking about. Of all the times you need to pray, pray when you got problems. But listen to me. What do I pray about? See, this is where we get sidetracked. Because it seems obvious that when you just said to us, pray when you've got problems, that I'm supposed to be praying about my problem. No. No. Look at verse 5 right here. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God. That's called request. Who gives generously to all without finding fault, say it with me, and it will be given to him. So when you're in the middle of problems, rather than just praying and crying and complaining about your problem, you're praying for wisdom. Why do you pray for wisdom in the midst of your problem? So you don't waste the opportunity for growth. If you don't pray for wisdom and how to respond to the problem that you're in, then you're going to go around the mountain again. And you're going to go around the mountain again and again and again because, well, let me put it a different way. God's going to give you another opportunity to grow. That's exactly what it is. So I'm just pleading with you as your pastor, please learn. Learn from your problems. When you become absolutely overwhelmed, and you don't understand what God is doing, and you are saying, why? Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view instead of yours. And prayer puts you up into that place where you can see things from God's point of view. So when I'm facing problems, I'm praying for God's wisdom. There's no situation in all of this life that I can't learn from if I have the right attitude. And I'm sitting here telling you, stop asking why? Start asking what? I've already told you why. Why do I have these problems? To purify your faith. Look at your notes. Why do you have these problems? To build up your patience. Why do you have these problems? To help you grow in character. So stop asking why and start asking What do you want to teach me in this problem? I want to see this thing from your perspective, God. What is it you want me to learn in the midst of this? You tracking with me?
Yeah.
Let's do one more. Let's do one more. Ready? Relax and trust. Everybody? Ah. Take a chill pill. Bring it down some notches. I understand it's all going wrong for you. Will you just trust God that He knows what's best for your life, even in the midst of chaos?
Yes.
Are you willing to just say, God, I want to cooperate with your plan for my life? Because if you don't cooperate with His plan for your life, you're going to short circuit His plan. But when all the pressure and the problems are just stirring around you, it's hard to walk by faith. Faith says, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I don't need to understand it all because I'm not God. So even though I don't understand it all, yet will I trust Him. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. It's faith. So it's right there in verse 6. It's just verse 6 in this passage right there. When He asks, we must believe and not doubt. Do you know how to relax in the midst of the storm? Remember when the disciples were all freaking out because they thought it was going to sink in the midst of the storm? Where was Jesus? Sleeping. It's like they're kicking Him. Hey, God, get up. Don't you care that we're all going to drown? We're bailing like crazy. We're trying everything we know how to keep. Some of you are in those kind of circumstances right there. And the natural looks really rough that you're in. And you're wondering where God's at. Well, He's not a bit worried. He's not a bit worried. The devil uses problems to defeat you, to destroy you. God wants to use the very same problems to develop you. It's your choice. I said it's your choice. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God that God is working, and I'm just going to relax. I know that this message is for many of you here today. And I'm telling you, God is not asleep. He is working on your behalf, and you can't see it, and I know that it's very, very hard. But please, your fallback position is that God is love, and He loves you very, very much. He sees exactly what it is that you're going through. Good grief, the hairs of your head are numbered. He knows exactly where you're at. He's not lost your number at all. He cares about you. You're in His hands. There's a fantastic promise right here in verse 12. Just drop down a couple of verses. It's just in this passage of James 1. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. I've parsed every one of those words just about for you in this message today. Because when he stood the test, stood, having done all to stand, stand therefore, when he stood the test of trials, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. God says there's going to be a reward, and the reward is going to be forever and ever and ever and ever. I have a personal conviction that when we get to heaven, the majority of rewards is not going to go to pastors or evangelists or anything like that. I think the rewards are going to go to people who just quietly put up with the difficult situations that they've gone through, that they believed that God was going to be the difference maker, and that the character of Jesus Christ was developed in their life through the difficult times they went through. And He says, there will be a crown of life for you. So cast all your cares on me. I care for you. Trust. Relax. Let him do the fighting for you. Would you bow your head with me? Heavenly Father, as I look out upon these faces, I see a lot of needs. There's people that have had a very discouraging week. Some of these people have had really persistent problems that have carried on and on for days and weeks and even years. And there has been no relief. And Lord, I know that inside of their mind, the devil has said, "Has God said?" And they're being tormented with doubt. Where are you, Lord? Don't you know what I'm going through? Like the disciples in the boat that was being tossed to and fro by the storms. Don't you care, Lord? But we know you care. And because we know you care, you're not allowing these circumstances or situations to break us, but to make us. Not to destroy us, but to develop us, Lord. Lord, right now I just speak a word over these people to be triumphant under the trials they're going through right now. I speak over these, your children, Lord, that they could learn from this passage how to suffer successfully, how to profit from their problems, how to be positive under this pressure they're under. That's where the diamonds are made. Work in our lives, God. Just say it. Work in my life, God. Help me to grow, God, for your glory and your honor, God. Just keep your head bowed. There's some of you here today who maybe never invited Jesus Christ into your life. Oh, you've heard about God and you've heard about Jesus. And oh, I don't know, maybe you even went to church when you were a kid. But I got to be clear, I'm not talking to you about religion. I'm talking to you about a walking, living, breathing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The issue is a relationship, and he walks with me and talks with me. You can recite for me all the bad you've done, and I'm just going to tell you it doesn't matter. What matters is the direction your feet are headed right now. Which way are you going right now? Right now, the choice is up to you. You can say, "Jesus, I don't even understand all of this, but as much as I do, I want to say yes to you. Come into my life. Make me the person that you want me to be. Help me to understand this more and more and more. As much as I know how, I just surrender to you. I want to live for you. I want to thank you for loving me. I'm asking you, forgive me. I'm thanking you for dying for me. Help me to understand it more." If you thought those words in your head, if that reflects what it is that you're feeling right now, this can be the beginning of a brand new journey for you. It's called the Christian life. It's called walking with God. Today, right now, just open up your heart to Christ and ask him to come in. You're not an accident. You're not here by accident. You're here in this room right now for a reason. I'm a personal testimony of this. I made this decision years ago. I can tell you, I can look at you right in the eyes and tell you this was a turning point in my life. And no, my life has not been a bed of roses. But I have a power now that I can rely on that I never had before Christ. And today, you're opening up your life to Jesus Christ. You're saying, "Jesus, I want to be a Christian. Come into my life." If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand right where you're at. Just lift your hand up and say, "That's me. That's me. That's me." Anyone at all? There's others of you here, you know. You know the Lord. But you haven't been responding so well in the midst of the tough times that you've been going through. You're going through some tough times right now. And just as going through the tough times, I want you just to raise your hand and say, "That's me. I'm going through some tough times." Just acknowledge the fact I'm going through some tough times. There's nothing that's wrong with that. Welcome to the world. I'm going through some tough times. You can put your hands down. But right now, as surely as you raised your hand a second ago, I want you just to ask the Lord to give you courage, to give you strength, His strength. I want you right now to talk to yourself. Say, I'm going to make the choice to rejoice in Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust Jesus Christ. Just tell Him that you trust Him. Thank Him for His help. Thank Him right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. This circumstance, because I choose to respond correctly, it's going to make me more like you. And I just say, Father, thank you for your word. Wow, as we just delve into a couple of verses here this morning, thank you that it's clear. Thank you that it's relevant to where we live. Thank you that your word applies to our lives right now, 2017. Thank you that your word helps us. It encourages us. Lord, this week as we just meditate on this passage of Scripture over and over again, just chewing on it, strengthen us. Help us to rejoice in the midst of the circumstance, not for the circumstance, but because what you're making out of us in the midst of the circumstance. Help us to take responsibility for our attitudes and for how we choose to respond, casting our cares on you, for you care for us. I bless these people, Lord. I bless them. Just take your hands and put them in front of you. I bless these people, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Friends, Jesus went to the cross for you. He's crazy about you. He loves you. He loves you. Pour out your blessing on your kids, Father. Let him hear the words, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless your people, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Worship team, would you come forward, please? We're going to continue to worship with our tithes and offerings right now. And